On this computer too. See if this works. Yeah, it's working there, so I'm hoping I'm good. Hello everyone. Computer issues again tonight, but we're going to give this a try anyway. I'm Dr. Roger Paul, and tonight we're going to go on with paper 169. I didn't, did I put that in that paper? I did a part two. And this is on page 1854, the original Urantia book, or paper 169.3.1 and the others. So let's give this a try and see if we can get it to going here. Somebody else want to take this first paragraph for me? I got Diane. Let me see if I can read this. What's wrong with this thing, man? Yeah, this meeting is being recorded. Oh, okay. You go away? Try it now.
Three, the rich man and the beggar. When the meeting began,
Roger, you want to mute?
I am
What?
muted.
Try it now.
Start over.
It's picking it up from
somewhere else.
Do you want me to start over?
No, this is the other computer is completely out. Oh, I hate to do this, but I think I'm going to call it for tonight.
Really, honey?
I can't figure it out. Yeah, I don't know what's going on.
Well, we can read.
Well, I guess we could do that.
Yeah, I don't think there's
I can
any.
read this one.
All right, and mute yours. She can read through my microphone, probably.
Okay.
Okay. I mean, to read out of this. Yeah, go ahead and just read. Okay. See if that'll work.
Three, the rich man and the beggar. When the meeting became.
Can you hear her?
Yes.
Good.
Okay. When the meeting became too noisy, Simon Peter, standing up, took charge and saying, "Men and brethren, it is not seemingly thus to dispute among yourselves. The master has spoken, and you do well to ponder his words. And this is no new doctrine which he proclaimed to you. Have you not also heard the allegory of the Nazarites concerning the rich man and the beggar? Some of us heard John Baptist thunder this parable, thunder this parable of warning to those who love riches and covet dishonest wealth. And while the older parable is not according to the gospel we preach, you would all do well to heed its lessons until such a time as you comprehend the new light of the kingdom of heaven. The story, as John told it, was like this.
Picture there. Letch, would you take the next one?
Okay. There was a certain rich man named Divas, who, being clothed in purple and fine linen, lived in mirth and splendor every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, who laid at this rich man's gate, covered with sores and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Yes, even the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried away by the angels to rest in Abraham's bosom. And then presently, this rich man also died and was buried with great pomp and regal splendor. When the rich man departed from this world, he waked up in Hades, and finding himself in torment, he lifted up his eyes and beheld Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And then Dives cried aloud, "Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send over Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water to cool my tongue, for I am in great anguish because of my punishment." And then Abraham replied, "My son, you should remember that in your lifetime you enjoyed the good things while Lazarus in like manner suffered the evil. But now all this has changed, seeing that Lazarus is comforted while you are tormented. And besides, between us and you there is a great gulf, so that we cannot go to you, neither can you come over to us." Then said Dives to Abraham, "I pray you send Lazarus back to my father's house, inasmuch as I have five brothers, that he may so testify as to prevent my brothers from coming to this place of torment." But Abraham said, "My son, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them." And then answered Dives, "No, no, Father Abraham, but if one go to them from the dead, they will repent." And then said Abraham, "If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, even if one were to rise from the dead."
All right. I'm not going to comment much on this one. This is got so much against what we really believe. It's not hardly worth hashing over, so I'm going to skip over
that.
This
appears in the New Testament.
It does appear in the New Testament. It's total wrong reflection of what happens after death. You know, you're not allowed to return, you know, and there is no hell in Hades, right? So, but let's go on. Rodney, would you take the next one?
Yes. After Peter had recited this ancient parable of the Nazarite Brotherhood, and since the crowd had quieted down, Andrew arose and dismissed them for the night. Although both the apostles and his disciples frequently asked Jesus questions about the parable of Dives and Lazarus, he never consented to make comment thereon.
What do you think that is? Because it had so much misrepresentation of what really happens after death, you know, and he did not want to propagate that. You know what I'm saying?
He didn't want to muddy the waters.
He didn't want to muddy the waters even further, right? All right, Pam, would you take the next one, please? Pam, you're muted. You're still muted. There we go.
Sorry. For the family in his kingdom. Jesus always had trouble trying to explain to the apostles that while they proclaimed the establishment of the kingdom of God, the Father in heaven was not a king. At the time, Jesus lived on earth and taught in the flesh. The people of Urantia knew mostly of kings and emperors in the governments of the nations, and the Jews had long contemplated the coming of the kingdom of God. For these and other reasons, the master thought best to designate the spiritual brotherhood of man as the kingdom of heaven, and the spirit head of his brotherhood as the Father in heaven. Never did Jesus refer to his father as a king. In his intimate talks with the apostles, he always referred to himself as the Son of Man and as their elder brother. He depicted all his followers as servants of mankind and messengers of the gospel of the kingdom.
So he always put himself as our brother, right? That's why it's the brotherhood of man. Okay. So he never put himself up above anyone else, even though he was the creator of our local universe and he really was our God of this universe. So, but he always wanted to make his father sound like the relationship of a family, the head of a family. And that's why he did these things, right? All right. Gary, would you
Can I ask
take
a
the next?
question? What do you think Jesus referred to God as? And I think that he avoided using him, referring to him as king. And in Jesus's heart, how do you think he looked upon God? As a
First
father?
person, as the first source and center of everything, Father. Or first source and center, because that the designation, that's why the designation of first source and center is so important. And that's why the designation of the eternal Son is the second source of center too, right? Because they're separated, the three beings of the Trinity are separated to such a great extent. There's such a gulf between us and them. That it would not just be proper just to call him Father and the Son just to call him Son, would it? And the eternal Spirit really is on the level of God the Father and God the Son. So that even makes the Spirit higher than that. So, really, outside our local universe, our high concepts really are Jesus and the local universe, Mother Spirit of Divinity. So the gift, the divide of divinity between the local universe, Mother Spirit, the Creator Sons, all of them, and the Father himself is tremendous. Even though Jesus called him Father, he was literal Son of God. So that makes him on a higher level. But as far as divinity goes, he is much further down. On the scale, if you think about it, really the only ones between God the Father and the Son are the Ancients of Days and the Master Spirits, right? That's really the only beings in between. And of course, God the Supreme, which is not a fruition yet. So when you think about the Creator Sons and the Creative Mother Spirits, they have each one of them has their own domain. You are really. I know. Suffering computer issues. So that's why I think that Jesus always considered God the Father as more as his servant than anything else. But in his mind, I'm sure he perceived him as the first source and son.
Okay.
Right.
All righty. All righty. Ready? Jesus well knew that God can be known only by the realities of experience. Never can he be understood by the mere teaching of the mind. Jesus taught his apostles that while they never could fully understand God, they could most certainly know him, even as they had known the Son of Man. You can know God not by understanding that Jesus said, but by knowing what G Jesus said, but what Jesus was. Jesus was a re revelation of God.
I think that says it best that Jesus was a revelation of God, who God was. All right.
Okay.
Except when quoting the Hebrew scriptures, Jesus referred to deity by only two names, God the Father. And when the Master made references to the Father as God, he usually employed the Hebrew word signifying the plural God, the Trinity, and not the word Yahweh, which stood for the progressive conception of the tribal God of the Jews. So Jesus really did not support the concept of the tribal God of the Jews, which is known as Yahweh, right? He thought that was more along the line of all the rest of the gods they named. All right, so that's the difference in that.
I don't know if you know it, Roger, but your voice is somewhat garbled in my area.
Yeah, mine too.
Yeah, it's because of what's going on with my setup here. I'm trying to let me turn this on and off, see if that helps. Is that any better?
A touch.
Huh?
Maybe,
Maybe
possibly.
just a little better. I'm having all kinds of problems with the computers today. Got a broken down Macintosh and can't seem to get these things, this other one configured properly. So let's keep moving. Diane, here. Yeah, mute that.
Mute
There. Jesus never called the Father king, and he very much regretted that the Jewish folk were restored kingdom in John's proclamation of a coming kingdom made it necessary for him to denominate.
nominate his those spiritual brotherhood, the kingdom of heaven. With one exception, the declaration that God is spirit, Jesus never referred to deity in any manner other than in terms descriptive of of his own personal relationship with the first source, the center of paradise.
Okay, and that's why I said he probably, in his concepts of him, he always thought of him as the first source and center, because that's what all the creators considered him. Okay? Did y'all hear Diane all right?
Yeah, good enough.
Okay, right.
Jesus employed
Same
the
arrangement.
word. Pardon me?
Sorry. Keep rearranging my pictures. I'm trying to speed up.
Jesus
All right, sir.
employed the word God to designate the idea of deity, and the word Father to designate the experience of knowing God. When the word Father is employed to denote God, it should be understood in its largest possible meaning. The word God cannot be defined and therefore stands for the infinite concept of the Father, while the term Father, being capable of partial definition, may be employed to represent the human concept of the divine Father as he is associated with man during the course of mortal existence.
Okay, so that kind of breaks down the way Jesus thought about it, right? I think.
I think Diane should mute because we're getting
Muted.
reverberation.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Oh, it's okay. There you go.
Little better.
Better.
Let's see here. Who's next? I got Pam up next, so let's let Pam go next.
Okay. To the Jews, Elohim was the God of gods, while Yahweh was the God of Israel. Jesus accepted the concept of Elohim and called this supreme group of beings God, in the place of the concept of Yahweh, the racial deity. He introduced the idea of the fatherhood of God and the worldwide brotherhood of man. He exalted the Yahweh concept of a deified racial father to the idea of a father of all the children of men, a divine father of the individual believer. And he further taught that this God of universes and this father of all men were one and the same paradise deity.
So that makes him forever in conjunction with the Trinity. All right, Gary.
Jesus, oh, what is it, Les Stern?
Yeah, he's coming up next on my screen.
Okay. Jesus never claimed to be the manifestation of Elohim, God, in the flesh. He never declared that he was a revelation of Elohim, God, to the world. He never taught that he who had seen him had seen Elohim, God. But he did proclaim himself as a revelation of the Father in the flesh. And he did say that whoso had seen him had seen the Father. As a divine son, he claimed to represent only the Father.
And that's where that claim from, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father, came from, right? He's a direct revelation of God himself as his son.
Right. So why is he not the revelation of Elohim?
Not really, because you would think Elohim would be more of the concept of the original first person center, God the Father. So,
well, Elohim was a Jewish name for the Trinity.
Yahweh was the Jewish name.
Well,
and
that was
Elohim
their
was the
tribal
more universal,
God.
Huh?
That was their tribal God. But then Melchizedek taught about the Trinity, and they designated that as Elohim.
Okay.
So Jesus wanted to steer away from a national attitude toward a deity to a deity of the universes, something much larger.
Yeah, yes. And he did not want to be mistaken as part of the Trinity either. You know, they just
right.
assumed that he was part of the Trinity, and that was never true, right? So, and even the Christian church still believes that. You know, it's interesting too, because they misdesignated the infinite spirit for all these 2,000 years too, because they say God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost, right?
Yeah.
Is, and you know, that's not
Holy
the,
Ghost.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think what Jesus means when he says, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father, I think what he's talking about is the Father's character, because
yeah.
it reflects through Jesus.
Right. More of a personality thing.
Yeah.
Than it, yeah. Right. Ledge, would you take the next one?
Yes. He was indeed the son of even the Elohim God, but in the likeness of mortal flesh, and to the mortal sons of God, he chose to limit his life revelation to the portrayal of his Father's character, insofar as such a revelation might be comprehensible to mortal man. As regards the character of the other persons of the Paradise Trinity, we shall have to be content with the teaching that they are altogether like the Father, who has been revealed in personal portraiture in the life of his incarnated Son, Jesus of Nazareth.
Okay, so it's more of a person, a character, personality character thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Roger, when we get a magisterial sun, like other planets, what character do they portray?
They portray normally the character of the Trinity, all three.
Okay.
Like Trinity teacher sons also do that too. But there's not really anyone except for the creator sons that reflect the character of the first son, right? Because they are direct descendants of the first. So when they portray the Father, they also portray the Son too, but none of the sons that are bestowed just just reflect the character of just the eternal Son, right?
Or the spirit.
Yeah, or the spirit, either one, right? They all more reflect the character of the Trinity or anything else, right? Although Jesus revealed the true nature of the Heavenly Father in his earth life, he taught very little about him. In fact, he taught only two things: that God and himself is spirit, and that all matters of relationship with his creatures, he is a father. On this evening, Jesus made the final pronouncement of his relationship with God when he declared, "I have come out from the Father, and I have come into the world again, and I will leave the world and go by the Father, to the Father, I should say." So he came from the Father, and he's going back to the Father. And the seventh bestowal is all about revealing this Father himself, right? That may be why he didn't spend a lot of time on the other things like the Trinity and that sort of thing, because he did those sort of things in his other bestowals, and so he didn't feel like there was it was required. And we will learn more about those as we go into the mansion worlds, right? Right. We've gone on you. Okay.
But mark you, never did Jesus say, "Whoso has heard me has heard God." But he did say, he who has seen me has seen the Father." To hear Jesus's teaching is not equivalent to knowing God, but to see Jesus is an experience which is in itself is a revelation of the Father to the soul. The God of the universes rules a far-flung creation, but it is the Father in heaven who sends forth the Spirit to dwell within your minds.
Okay, you notice here it says to hear Jesus is, you didn't turn that back on.
Not all the time.
You just leave it off tonight, just for the night. Yeah. And you notice here Jesus said his teaching is not equivalent to knowing God. You see that?
Correct.
But to see Jesus in an experience of itself is a revelation of Father to the soul. Why do you think that is? Because we have thought adjusters within us ourselves, right? So that revelation speaks to that Father fragment, and that Father fragment in turn relates that to your growing soul.
That's a personal experience.
It's a personal experience. That's right. All right. All right, and the other fact here that he made very clear is that God is spirit. He's not a Maruncha being, he's not a finite being, he's a spirit being. Right, and that's
He's
important
not
to know.
Santa Claus.
He's not Santa Claus, that's right.
Roger, how would you define spirit?
Spirit is the essence of the highest level of reality existence. That's how I would define it. In other words, we live in a finite reality and those multiple Marantia realities, right? Multiple of your Marantia. But when you get to spirit, there are seven stages of spirit existence. So you can think of God the Father as the highest stage of spirit existence, and that you can think of it as different dimensions, really, because when you get to the highest spirit dimension, then your reality itself has changed to such a point that the finite reality almost seems like a foggy dream. You know
Yes.
what I'm
Oh, thank you.
saying? All right. Next. I think Pam's up next, right? Did you just read, Rodney?
No.
No, you're up next. I'm sorry.
Okay. Jesus is the spiritual lens in human likeness, which makes visible the material to the material creature, him, who is invisible. He is your elder brother, who, in the flesh, makes known to you a being of infinite attributes, whom not even the celestial host can presume fully to understand. But all of this must consist in the personal experience of the individual believer. God, who is spirit, can be known only as a spiritual experience. God can be revealed to the finite sons of the material worlds by the divine son of the spiritual realms, only as a father. You can know the eternal as a father. You can worship him as the God of universes, the infinite creator of all existences.
And that's above and different than any other being. Right? Oh, that was the last one. All right. Let me show this one. Great. And then you share the new one. Lost everybody. Can you see that?
Okay. Yes.
Okay. All right, y'all. I can't see anybody's. only see the rear. See, this is the kind of thing on this machine. I can't figure out how to get it to behave. Pam, who is up next?
I think it's Gary.
Okay.
All right. Gary, you want to read the prayer for us?
I'll do it. Prayer of acceptance. I believe that God is my paradise father and that only by faith am I saved. No sacrifice is necessary. By the same faith, I became a child of God and know that all men and women are my brothers and sisters. We know the Son of God is sovereign of our universe of Nebanon, as Christ Michael, Jesus of Nazareth. By allowing the will of God to become my will, I will someday stand in the presence of the Paradise Father. In the name of Christ Michael, Jesus of Nazareth, amen.
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 Gosh, we get to nearly do. All right, y'all, we'll go on to the next paper. Next day, this Thursday. Hopefully by this week, my computer straightened.
I wish you luck.
All right. Stop here. All right. And stop the meeting. See you all next time.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Bye.